I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a, I'm just sad.
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors, Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, and Liberty Core Real Estate. We appreciate their support.
What's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out, where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax. It's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullenparty uses the Soleya laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check him out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. We've got we have a lot of really good looking leaders in F3 Omaha. I don't know if we should make a calendar someday, but we got another one here on the line with us today. And this guy, I've really been encouraged just running next to him in the gloom, hearing his story, and just watching him lead. He's a former PsyQ at the mess hall, and also is working behind the scenes on some of the F3 Omaha tech and data needs, just based on his expertise and profession. But we got our man Cosmo on the gloom today. And Cosmo, I wonder if you would just take us back to sort of that first post, who EH'd you, if you remember what the workout was like, who led it, that sort of thing. And then how did we land on the name Cosmo?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the ask to be here. Really do. So I started F3 about 2.5 years ago, summer of 2021, I think. And I'd known about it for quite a while. I'm pretty good friends with Toadstool, pretty good friends with Swinger. And I'm trying to think of other guys that I knew beforehand. Probably some will come to mind, but those were primarily the two. And I knew that Toadstool was part of something. And I was a runner prior to getting involved with F3, and so I realized this after the fact that I would see F3 guys out running around. I live right by Westside High School, so I'd run around the neighborhood in the morning, and at the point of that time we had small kids, so I always had to be out and back before my wife had to leave for work, which is pretty early, so our time frames kind of overlapped. And I'd go up and do track work at Westside, and I'd see guys running around out there. And so I've known Toadstool forever, and his wife and my wife are good friends, and have known each other since childhood. And so he'd mentioned it a bunch of times, and I kind of give him a hard time about this from time to time, but he'd mentioned it a lot of times, but he never really followed through on the, hey man, Tuesday we're going or whatever. It was actually Swinger. I saw Swinger out at Cedar one night. He said, I was walking out, he was still sitting out on the patio. He said, what are you doing Tuesday? He said, actually, I think it was Thursday. It was the coup. And said, I don't know. He said, I'm going to be by your house at 5:15. And then he said something that I've come to realize since is not a Swinger original, which is don't make me.
Oh, yeah.
And so he came and got me, and he swung through and got me. And we went to the coop. He said, Toadstool said, go to the coop at Swanson. So we went to the coop, and Space Bar was the cue that day, and it was a 3-man grinder. And this is another thing that I heard a lot of, and I've heard this out running with guys and talking with guys at coffee about being an FNG, and I heard it on a couple of prior gloom episodes. But you know, guys say, I thought I was in shit, and then I came out and did F3 and really got my ass kicked. And I'm not an exception to that reality. I felt like I'd been in a plane crash or something in the days after. I was just sore head to toe. Yeah, that's kind of where it started. Cosmo came from Toadstool. I wasn't really in the naming in the circle as an FNG, getting named and telling the group about myself. I wasn't really didn't really pick up on the fact that what I was supposed to do is provide good tidbits and nuggets for you to give me a fun name, and so I wasn't offering up a lot of interesting things. And Toadstool was like, Tom likes to make cocktails. He's a pretty good cocktail craft cocktail guy, and so that's how he said favorite drinks Cosmopolitan, right? So that's how Cosmo came to be. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell. It was the coop back in the summer of 2021.
I love it, man. And so you mentioned being a runner before you started F3, and you know, and then obviously the beat down, probably working some different areas, but from a first F sort of fitness perspective, how has your journey progressed, or how are you doing today? You still running a lot, or what's that like for you?
I'm doing great. I love it. I'm running less, but that's fine. I was probably in the 20, 25 mile a week range before that. But I'm probably in the 12, 15 range now. And that's fine. I just kind of have a fast metabolism. And when I run that much, I can't really keep any weight on. So F3 is definitely a better balance for me. And I'm hands down stronger than I was back then. Probably not as fast, but that's all right with me. So I'm good from an F3 perspective. I just did just interesting timing. I did my first ever Murph this morning. If you can.
Oh that. Wow! Okay.
Tell people that, and they're like, "Really? Never done a Murph? Never done a Murph? Well, not till today." So. Today was good. A couple of firsts today. First podcast ever.
What did you think of the Murph? And I guess what took you so long to try that out?
That's a good question. I think I was probably subconsciously intimidated by it a little bit. You know, I remember years and years ago hearing about what a Murph was, and I thought, that's insane. Mm-hmm. That's some Navy SEAL stuff right there. It's really not that it's not bad at all. I've set myself a bunch of goals for the next year, and one of them is to be out every Monday murfing. So here's to to new adventures.
I love it. I am curious, you know, so as you you mentioned that you have this opposite problem, right? I think most guys are maybe jealous once they heard you say you've got really fast metabolism, right? But I want that problem. But you know, how, as you've sort of gotten involved in the group, like how have you progressed? It sounds like you maybe stuck with some of the beat down sites, but have you gone to the weight sites or the running sites, or sort of what was your progression after that first post at the coop?
I stuck with that location for the first couple of weeks. I remember when Swinger had picked me up, when he dropped me off, he's like, so I'll let you know when I'm going next. I typically try to get out 3 times a week or so. And I thought, just based on what I just gone through, and I was like trying to catch my breath still when he dropped me off at home, I was like, 3 times a week? Man, that's crazy. I kind of stuck around here. I live just a couple blocks away from Westside High School. So I went back to Coop a lot. Mess hall wasn't a thing yet. Mm-hmm. So Coop gradually started going to Westside, and you know, Stinson's not that far away, Woodshed, Elmwood's not that far away. And I haven't done this in a while, but back then I was still like longing for more miles than you know, keeping my mileage up. And so I would run to those workouts and run to the ones here close, but I can run to Elmwood, run to Stinson from here, and then run home afterwards. But I don't, to be honest, I don't remember exactly how quickly I ramped up, but I, you know, got to the point, I think within a month or two, where I was doing 3 or 4 a week, and that's kind of where I am now. I just kind of typically couple during the week, maybe one during the weekend. I'm not great about weekends, but yeah, just kind of progress from there. I say it to myself perpetually, but I don't branch out as much as I, much as I could, as much as I should. And that's another goal for the future is to get out and move around the city. But habits, man, old habits die hard.
Cosmo, when you mentioned running to workout sites, I remember meeting you and then following you on Strava and seeing you run to and from the workout sites and being very impressed that you had started F3 and that you accelerated really quickly with your physical fitness. It's hard to run home after a workout, for sure.
Yeah,
but what I want.
That's the point where you say, what have I done here?
But what I wanted to ask you about was with being a guy that would run, 25 miles a week, I'm assuming that was mostly by yourself. What was it like going to F3 where you could have guys that you could have some second F with and pre-run and do some things like that with?
Yeah, it's better. It's a lot. it's so much better. And I don't get out by myself very much anymore. And there's value in that. I mean, there's value in solitude and getting out by yourself and moving. And I do from time to time, but not very much. And I don't miss it. I don't miss it that much. If I missed it that much, I'd do it more often. It was among so many other things, that was one of the things that I needed that F3 kind of provided camaraderie and somebody to talk to while I'm running and have coffee with afterwards and that sort of thing. So it was huge. Like I said, one of many, many, many things that F3's provided for me. So
how did you, because you mentioned you knew a few guys, right? You knew Swinger and Toadstool, but how did you sort of go about building relationships in the group? Because you mentioned you earlier sort of you're not maybe that great at mumble chatter, but like, where did those relationships start to build for you?
Slowly but surely. The mumble chatter thing's mostly just me being sleepy, but I'm relatively introverted, I would say. So I think I went to coffee first day at Starbucks. Starbucks was still around then. And so, it's just a little overwhelming at first, it's like you don't know anybody and a lot of the guys are just kind of like, not necessarily outgoing, and I'm somebody that kind of benefits from that. I'm not very outgoing, so guys, I remember, Honey Stinger, Stingers were all over me like, hey man, what's up? What you doing? And very, very friendly, very outgoing, very welcoming and that sort of thing. So that was great, but slowly but surely. And there were, for a long time after I started, I wasn't always up for going for coffee and kind of had hesitation, just kind of like, yeah. But man, I love it now. It's just it's the best part of my day. The whole morning, the whole morning out there with guys, the best part of my day. But workout's great. Coffee's just as great because you get the opportunity to meet people get to know people, guys. And honestly, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface with the second F component of watch video. There's so many guys all over the city that I've never met, or if I have met them, I've never really had any type of meaningful conversation with them. So there's just amazing potential there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, slowly is the answer.
Oh, that's great.
Slowly is how I kind of progress with that. But
and I think that's okay, right? I think that I hear that a lot, and I think it's this beautiful thing, right, where we've got all of these guys that are different. We're all wired a little bit different. So you've got Stinger, and you've got to me, it depends on how I slept the night before. Sometimes I'm outgoing, and sometimes I'm not, and I can't. I don't know. But how, like, from your perspective, what are some of the ways that we can be more welcoming to guys that are maybe more introverted, like yourself? Anything on that list, like things that maybe we should just be kind of watching for or trying to do more often?
I don't know. As an organization, I don't know. I think as individuals, we should aim to be more like Hank Stinger, you know, and you know, with FNGs, encourage them to come back. It's what I aim to say to every single FNG when we're doing the fist bump circle after prayer is, good job, come back, you know? And so I think us individually, I don't know that it's anything like necessarily from a leadership perspective, nothing comes to mind immediately, yeah. But as individuals, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, engage with them at coffee if they show up for coffee on their first day and talk to them and see how they're doing. And we've had some FNJ and FNG at Battlefield or Coliseum. I don't remember. I queued a couple weeks ago. And he was struggling to keep up. And, you know, sometimes you see those guys and you think to yourself, you think about the probability that they're going to come back and wonder about that. And but we had a great conversation at coffee, and we all kind of collectively encouraged this guy as the workout was going along, even though he's like sitting out portions of it because he was that's just mm-hmm. where he was, you know. But encourage him to keep going and help him understand that getting over to the other side is totally worth it and coming back. So I've always said that the first time you post isn't necessarily the hardest or the most impressive. It's the second time you post because, you know, you got an understanding of what it's all about. And so
I'm curious, Cosmo, when you mentioned the perspective of what it's like for a new guy and also just kind of once you've been in it for a while and getting to know guys. You know, Freed to Lead talks about this magic number of 18 guys at a workout, that once it gets beyond 18, it becomes too large, can be intimidating for new guys who don't know people. The more people you don't know, the more it can be intimidating. And then you've also just got this thing that happens where you show up to a workout and, you know, you get to Namorama and you're like, I didn't even know that guy was here because there's 30 guys.
Right.
Here. So, yep. Do you feel like the size of the workout groups, and in particular, maybe some of the smaller, you know, single digit workouts, have you found that you gravitate towards those and see those as a benefit?
I love the fact that we're growing, and I love the fact that there are smaller sites. I mean, I really enjoyed the mess hall. I enjoy the mess hall. I enjoy Coop because, you know, it's, you can almost count on it being something in the 5 to 10 range as opposed to, you know, a larger group. And I feel like we're kind of in, from my perspective anyway, at a lot of the sites I go to anyway, I can kind of guesstimate how many guys are going to be there. And at Mass Hall Coop, they're going to be 5 to 10 at Battlefield. Coliseum, there's going to be 12 to 20 and that sort of thing. And so I think, you know, the growth has just been absolutely staggering. And from time to time, I think it's just going too fast. But as long as we're, you know, spreading guys out, but, you know, in the summer, the FNG volume is totally insane as well. So we've got to grow to keep it from getting to keep it from getting out of control. I heard that before they opened Mess Hall and Coop, that the Battlefield Coliseum had gotten up into the, you know, mid-20s. And I like those beat downs. Mumble Chatter's high and it's kind of high energy and that sort of thing, but I love mm-hmm. single digits too. So I don't think there's necessarily one I hadn't heard the magic 18 number before, but that's certainly very interesting. I don't think there's necessarily, for me anyway, there's not a magic number, but it's good to kind of be able to know what you're getting into when you post in some way.
It's interesting too, because we typically, right, we kind of plan on numbers, you know, decreasing during the winter time, but our numbers have stayed or like not gone down at all this year. So it's been an interesting, like, there were a couple sites we were going to wait till the spring to launch. And it's like, maybe we need those now. Cause to your point, there's so much value in those smaller groups. Like that's the whole, you know, it's in our mission, right? But some of those bigger groups just make it harder to connect. But hey, I'm curious if, you mentioned kind of cafeteria, but any of the other Second F events, like maybe the lunches or the happy hours, or have you been able to get involved in any of those things, been helpful for building relationships?
Yeah. I haven't done lunch just because it's hard for me to cut away that mm-hmm. part of my day on Fridays, happy hours of, it's a casual pint. I hit those pretty frequently and get to have, you know, kind of like extended coffee with the neighborhood crew. And I love it. That's what it is. It's extended coffee. Other Second F stuff. I haven't done trivia night or any of those things. Not that I have anything, have any issue with them. I haven't gotten out there. So there's a lot of, that's another area where there's more opportunity for me to get out there and move around.
Well, and that's part of it is we have more opportunity than any one guy could possibly participate in. Right. And I think it can go one of two ways, right? You either think like, oh shoot, I got to do more, or just realize like, we're not expecting you to do it all. Right. It's just, we're trying to give options for a lot of different guys, but you know, I'm curious your thoughts too, because as you think about some of these Second F pieces, you know, I think about other relationships. So just kind of curious if you've noticed any impact of like on your relationship with your M, or maybe it's with your 2.0s, or just other, you know, sort of impact that F3 maybe has had.
My M is fantastic. She's very supportive. She's funny before it because she obviously she's good friends with Toadstool's wife. Like I said, she grew up with her. And so I think we can blame this on Toadstool's wife. But my wife always, since I started, has joked and called this group Burpees for Jesus. Because, I think that, you know, it's that third F component that is kind of like gets a lot of people scratching their heads and is like, this is a cult, you know, it's a religious cult. And so she still calls it, she still refers to it.
I joined that group. I'm in that group.
Yeah, I hear you. It hasn't been problematic. I hear some guys talk about how their M is kind of, you know, doesn't have a great outlook on F3. I don't compete with our kids are aged such now that I don't have to compete with my wife for morning workout time. Our kids can stay at home alone and they're old enough to do that. So there was a point in time where it was a little before F3 where I had to get my time in and then she had to get her time in and we had to balance it. And I hear that from some guys, but we're past that. She's proud of me and knows that I've become a part of it and done a little leadership and that sort of thing. My boys, I've got two teenage boys, 13 and 15, and I have tried so hard to EH them. I got one out. I got one of them's real athletic and plays all the sports, and the other one's very athletic, but he's more of a gym rat and just goes to the gym and lifts weights. And you would think that like it would be easy to get both of them out. The gym rat's been tough. He's not coming right now anyway. I got the younger one out to play ultimate frisbee because it's a team sport and that's his gig, and so that was great. And I'm still working on him. I'm going to try to get him out tomorrow because I think we're doing a frisbee pop up at Westside tomorrow.
What's his name? What'd they name him?
Well, his mother went to the University of North Carolina for undergraduate, and so she's a huge Tar Heel fan, and he is a huge Tar Heel fan in her following, and he let that go during the circle, and so they, of course, didn't.
Hey, he's in good company with me, my friend.
You got named Gator because you
Florida
went
State.
To...
Yeah, I'm a Seminole through and through, and they named me Gator. But, it makes sense. I got EH'd by Toadstool as well, so that's how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, be careful what you share. that's why I was so, that's why I was so closed up during
you knew better. One of the things I wanted to ask you about with regard to the mess hall and your decision to become a PsyQ is, you know, we've got a lot of guys who are listening who may have been asked to take a flag or are going to be taking a flag sometime here in the near future. What was your decision making process on, you know, kind of going, you know, ramping up the level from PAX member participating for, you know, ish days a week to making the commitment to carry the flag for the group?
Well, first of all, when I started, I talked about this, I think, when we did the shovel flag pass real briefly, but when I started, looking back is 2020, hindsight's 2020, but it's also pretty funny when you think about things that the things that you thought or done in the past. And when I started, and I remember, you know, seeing the group up at Westside before I joined and started working out, and I just assumed that it like ran itself, that it was just like some magical congregation of guys that would just know to show up, you know, and hadn't really given much thought to the fact that this, like everything else out there, in order to work well, needs some leadership, needs at least a little bit of structure. And so by the time, you know, Griswold asked me to be the site at Mess Hall, I understood obviously very well that there were people, there were Nantans and sector cues and site cues and all of these different people that made it work. And so I was incredibly honored. I was apprehensive, being perfectly honest. I was like, oh man, this is, you know, we all have more on our plates than we could deal with and handle to the degree that we want to and be good at all of them. So but yeah, what I would say to them is jump on it. It's I really enjoyed it, even though I was apprehensive about it. And the thing that I was apprehensive most about, I think, was just the scheduling. You know, I felt like I hadn't been in the group long enough to have developed relationships to be able to successfully schedule cues going forward, and nothing could have been further from the truth. I mean, there are guys out there. I've kind of had a little bit of an apprehensive relationship with leading, you know, with being Q to begin with, and I'm getting more comfortable with it. But I kind of assumed, I think naively, that everybody else was like that as well, and that I was going to be like pulling teeth or, you know, bugging guys to queue and that sort of thing. And it's just amazing. I mean, there are a lot of guys that you two included that love to queue and are like, yeah, just queuing all the time. And so that's really what it was really inspiring to see, you know, the willingness. I'd go look at the queue schedule to like see where I was and see how many weeks out I was and where I needed to, you know, start filling in holes. And I'd find somebody's name on the list. You know, I'd text somebody and be like, you put your name on the on mess hall for this day? And be like, yeah, is that okay? Like, that is fantastic, man. Thank you. So, yeah, I would urge anybody to get into it and do it. It was just an honor to be part of it and have been asked. So it's an honor to carry that flag around for
you. Talk us through the sort of process finding a successor to take over. What was that like for you?
It was pretty natural. Tightlip was like the guy. You want somebody who posts there a lot, particularly at the mess hall, because it's a smaller site that's kind of dark and clandestine and a little hidden and gets smaller numbers. And hindsight was just there. Was just there pretty regularly. He's a great runner, and just a really nice guy. He's soft-spoken. He reminds my, I mean, you know, he's a little introverted and quiet as well. So he kind of, in some ways, reminds me of myself. And I just kind of clicked, and I thought, this is the guy. And so, yeah, it was pretty easy. I hadn't even really given it a lot of intentional thought until we were already into like late spring. And somebody had asked me about it, and I thought, oh, I should start thinking about that. And I didn't think very long before I was like, that seems like a really good fit. And I asked him, and he thought about it for a day or so and said, yeah,
nice.
Let's do that. So it was great.
Yeah, I love that. Hey, you know, I'm curious too, and you know, kind of jokingly talking about burpees for Jesus, but I do want to get your thoughts on the third F piece and just kind of what's been your journey from a third F perspective and where you're at today.
So I was raised in a Catholic household. We were kind of, it was kind of Catholic light, split deal. My dad grew up pretty Catholic. My mom was Presbyterian, but not so seriously so. And so I did the Catholic confirmation, CCD, went to St. Mag's, and I you know, at that point in my life, I was a kind of a punk rock skater kid, you know, and so I had a good deal of conflict with the leaders in the church and the educational program. And so when I came out of that, it just didn't, religion didn't really stick with me. And so throughout my life, I haven't been religious. So, you know, but that is a pretty obviously not necessarily what third F is about. Like the rest of F3, it's a buffet. You can kind of make what you want and mold the first F, second F, third F into what works for you. I'm really happy with how I've gotten a lot more. I've gotten involved in a lot of Vandalay's projects and the blood drive and working at Heartland Hope and doing the Abide thing this weekend. And that was really a positive change for me, because I didn't realize this until I was in F3 and moving along with this, that I have always had a lot of intentionality about being you know, doing charity work and that sort of thing, and have never really been very good at following through with it. So this is an outstanding avenue to help me be more in that area of my life. And I've also realized that, you know, I'm thankful for that kind of wake up call, because I've got kids, and that's something that without that opportunity for me, I probably wouldn't be doing a very good job of passing, you know, pulling my kids into that and everything I get involved with the third F. I pull them along and like, hey, this is what we're doing this weekend. And, you know, the first time or two, they were like, oh. And now they're fine with it. They're like, oh, okay, we're going to go do Heartland Hope again. All right. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with third F. And I'm all about it. I like the variety and being in a circle. And I like it when the prayers are legitimately prayers to God. And I like listening and being there. So it's all meaningful for me. And that's certainly no exception.
I love that. I love, you know, just kind of hearing your history and your story. I think that's a place a lot of guys, you know, in our group have found themselves sort of in life. I'm curious, as you came into the group, did you feel, I think you must have, because you stayed, but did you feel like as you learned more about that third F piece, it became sort of more apparent, like, okay, these guys aren't trying to get me to believe some sort of doctrine? Or how did you overcome maybe some of that initial skepticism around the third F piece?
I don't know that I ever felt that there was going to be anything like that. I never seriously felt.
Okay.
there was one. I don't remember if it was Truly or somebody who was on the podcast, and he said, okay, when are these guys going to ask me for something? When are they going to say there's a mandatory Bible study this Thursday night at this guy's house or that sort of thing? So I've never really had any big hurdle to get over there with it. I mean, I think I had confidence and a good understanding from early on, and I think that F3 Nation does a good job of kind of communicating that the third F is about a belief in something larger than yourself, that it's not necessarily a religious component. It's never really been too much of a speed bump.
That's awesome.
For me.
That's good to know.
Hey, are you the type of guy that likes to get up early in the winter to battle your jester? Do you love listening to people drone on and on and on about COVID in the gloom? Would you trust your vision to a guy nicknamed Cataracts? Well, if the answer to any of these questions is yes, fellas, you have bigger problems than you think. Dr. Cataracts, aka Dr. Wolf, can't solve all of your problems, but he can certainly help you solve the problems related to your eye health and vision. You will find many F3 principles throughout his practice. Check him out today at Exclusively Eye Care.
I'm curious, Cosmo, what has your experience been like in trying to EH other guys? I know you live in a neighborhood that's about maxed out as far as F3 participation.
Yeah, right.
Friends from work, things like that. What's been your sales pitch when you talk to guys about going?
Yeah, it's been tough. I have successfully EH'd exactly two people. Two guys, one of whom is my 13-year-old. I think he still counts technically. But yeah, a guy that I work with, and there are, you'd be surprised, there are guys around here, my neighbor across the street and some other guys that I've talked to. I think that I think you need to approach it in the right way. I don't know what you guys typically do, but I think third F is something that kind of spooks guys. And so you need to kind of help them understand that it's a buffet, and make sure that they know that going in. Maybe just don't mention it, you know. Maybe just. But I'm gonna keep trying. I think that I try to talk to guys when we're out running or we're sitting at coffee about what their hacks are for EH and guys, and how to get guys to come out the first time. So I don't know, you guys got any good nuggets of advice that are like,
I don't know. I'm not the best at EHing. I think I'm a little judgy. I'll say, hey, you look like you need to work out, or, you know, which nobody likes to hear that. No, I don't know. I think I haven't tried the I'll be in your driveway and don't make me honk. I do think that seems to work. I don't know. Guys seem to be like, well, I don't want that. But
I kind of liked Pony, his story about when he was trying to EH somebody, and then Da Vinci ended up closing the deal with this guy. And his takeaway was, if you want to EH somebody, get somebody to do it who's cooler than you.
Yeah.
EH them. Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah.
Plague, you EH khakis in the Hy-Vee parking lot, right?
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Yeah, I just went up to him, and it was really a Sky Q thing. I think he was, you know, just turned 50, and, you know, was ready to make a change. But hey, I'm second guessing myself on this question here, because you look younger than you are, but I think are you almost 50? Are you almost respect? Wait time actually has just come on the show now. He's got the flat bill respect.
A couple weeks ago, Cutting Edge gave me this hat at Paradise.
Okay.
I queued at Paradise on my birthday, and he brought me this nice hat. Flat bill hats just make you look younger.
Yep, that's, you know, a wait time.
No old guys wear flat bill hats.
That's the wait time age hack there. Flat bill hats once you turn 50.
Right.
So how has it been? Yeah. What's it been like? Kind of.
I don't get terribly. I've never really gotten too hung up on age. Some people get depressed as they get older, and it doesn't. I don't know. I don't feel any different outside of having this awesome hat and being able to go to Respect pop-ups now, which I missed the Respect. I was at a conference out of town, and I missed the Respect pop-up this week. So, but I'll get to the next one. Wait Time's already asked me to queue one as soon as possible, and I couldn't do this one. So maybe next month or going forward. But it's great. I've always, it's an interesting component of this group that we do Respect, but I think it's awesome. And double Respect and triple, Da Vinci just had his triple Respect birthday, which is just crazy, crazy impressive. So I'm honored to be a part of it. I don't get not too hung up on age, but.
We need to hear some wisdom from you because you've aged. I mean, you don't, I would say, I mean, you look probably younger than Gator and I, right? I don't know. Like how have you aged so gracefully? And then I guess any other learnings along the way. I mean, what's been your secret? You feel like you've been writing them down.
That's nice of you to say. I don't know that I have any secrets. It's probably genetic more than anything else. It's certainly not high quality life decisions, and it's not eating right or not drinking or doing or making other good life decisions. But be physically active, get out there, move. If you don't move, start fall apart at some point. So I don't know. I don't think I'm the right person to ask, but
that's okay. I think it's cool. I'm looking forward someday to joining that elite group of Respect men. And I guess something else I would ask you, and you don't have to share if you don't want to, but I just thinking through, right, just the life you've lived and maybe things that you have been through, is there anything you'd be willing to share that maybe you think is like an experience you've had that other guys could learn from? Anything in that space that you would be willing to share?
Wow, that's a tough one. That's a kind of an open-ended life experience that I think other guys would benefit from. I think being honest and true to yourself is one of the things that I've always strived to do, and don't deceive yourself about who you are. And there's a lot of people that are living their lives really not liking who they are and not being satisfied. And we've all got shortcomings, things that we're not good at, things that we don't like about ourselves, and I think finding ways to come to peace with those things and accept them and move forward. Kind of sound like a self-help book, but that's a good question.
I wonder too, because I guess I would say I hear a lot of guys talk about what you're describing, right? This like, how do you define your purpose and your identity, and maybe the temptation is to try to look to other people to validate and define that. But I guess, how have you approached some of those, just things in life where you're, trying to figure out who you are and what you're good at, sort of what you're here to do? How have you approached those things? I think a lot of guys struggle with that.
I've got, and like I mentioned this before, but I've got an amazing wife who's very supportive and accepts all of the different aspects of me, even things that she actively dislikes. And so she, I don't know where I'd be without her. So, outside of leaning on her, I've got a great family, extended family, immediate and extended family. I'm really lucky in that respect. I'm really lucky in so many respects, but she, I think, has been most helpful in just helping me.
That's perfect. I love that. And that reminds me too of like this, another benefit of the Concentrica model, right? Of like those relationships, lean into the people that know us the best and that we're closest to sort of help. Yep. Guide. I think so often I know for me, it was like, I was too embarrassed that I didn't know who I was to ask my wife, but like she probably would have been the best person for me to turn to as opposed to, drugs and alcohol. But I did, it's an interesting thing. Like the person closest to us, we're trying to impress them so hard that we maybe don't always lean in. So I think that's really wise.
Yeah.
Sure. Anything else on your mind that you feel like, you know, maybe it's advice for a site queue or FNGs or other things that you would want to share with guys that are listening that we haven't covered yet?
You know, I think a lot about, and I've done at least one COT that's kind of centered around this, about life, you know, making positive life changes. And I think about positive change that I've made in my life. I didn't start exercising at all, running or otherwise, until I was 40, 41.
Oh, wow.
And so no physical exercise for the first 41 years of my life. And prior and eventually I just started running and just like that, like Forrest Gump kind of, and
that would have been a great name.
I didn't show that on purpose. but I reflect on that a lot, because on the other side of that, I think, why in the hell didn't I do this sooner? And so, I think about that a lot, you know, in starting up three, and I find myself trying to identify other areas in my life, other before and after things like that I'm still on the before side of, right? I brought this up, I mentioned this somewhere at a COT recently, but I heard Khakis say somewhere, we were at a second F thing, and I heard him tell somebody else, I saw, it's something like this, I'm paraphrasing him, I've seen more sunrises in the last 500 days of my life than I did in the first 5,000.
Yeah.
Something like that. And that's it. That's, he's the same way, right? UEH'd him, and he wasn't getting up early in the morning and working out and seeing sunrises before that. And I imagine that he thinks about that the same way. But I think about before and after and life change a lot. And that's what I would encourage guys to do. You know, if you're thinking about making a change in your life that you suspect would be positive, do it. Go for it. Take that step. And it's that first step that's hardest. But I just think about that a lot. So that's
super powerful. I appreciate you sharing that. I think that's a really cool perspective to view a lot of this from. Because, you know, Gator and I often talk about goals and how hard it is to measure. You know, it's like the most important goals are the hardest to measure. And so I think just taking time to reflect and really think through, like, what are the things I'm experiencing now, or what are the things that I hope to experience by making this change? You know, I think
right.
Yeah, that's really, really wise. I love that. I am curious too, you know, as you're thinking about just where you're at in this season of life, you know, when we see you out there in the gloom, what sorts of things do you need encouragement for? Or could we be checking in with you on just to see how they're going?
Just keep showing up. I'll be there. Want everybody else to be there. Since I started at F3, I get up in the morning and I've got this sort of thing that I do in my head where it's kind of why I'm drawn to the coop and mess hall and smaller sites like that, where I look at the schedule for the week and I think, where do I need to be? Mm-hmm. Who needs me to be at their workout this week? You know, and so I try to when it's obvious or when it seems apparent that I'd be needed somewhere, I'm like, that's where I'm going. And so I would just ask other guys to keep showing up, because I've got perpetual FOMO, and I'm like, I need to be out there because everybody else is out there. So as an organization, from a leadership perspective, I think this group's killing it, is absolutely killing it. And I've done a small amount, but I've done some downrange posting in other cities, and there isn't necessarily the same level of organization and just kind of commitment to the cause and culture. Culture is the word I'm looking for. But in the same culture, and they don't necessarily do COTs, don't necessarily do the mission statement, the values and stuff at the beginning. And so I really am grateful for the leadership in this organization and every single guy.
We're grateful for you, Cosmo. We appreciate you you taking the flag at the mess hall and leading by example and all the great contributions you've made to F3. Thank you, brother.
Heck yeah, man. And
you were very welcome.
And you honor. Look great in that hat, by the way. I don't know if you've been wearing it a lot.
Trying not to screw it up. When Cutting Edge gave it to me, I took off the hat I was wearing and put it on immediately. And then I thought, I should probably not wear this right now. We just got done running 6.5 miles.
Yeah.
So I don't want to sweat it all up. I was going to take it to Mexico with me because we went to Mexico. And I was like, I can't put this in a suitcase.
That's fancy, screw it all up. Well, respect looks good on you. It's awesome. Well, appreciate your time today. And we'll just encourage guys, if they see out there, to check in with you, to ask you questions. I think you've been an open book every time I've been around you, and just appreciate your influence out there. So we'll do a little name-a-rama. I'll start us off. Brandon Fleehart, 837, The Plague.
The Plague.
Ah. The Plague.
Ah. Mike Duffy, 41, Gator.
Gator. Chum.
Gator. Tom Oaks, 50, Cosmo.
Respect. Did we ever do any like sound or anything after Cosmo?
No, I've never had a thing.
So respect is your thing. It works.
Yeah, I guess.
Awesome.
I don't know what I would do, like the drinking with
put your pinky up. Up
or something I like that.
He probably got a variation of that, I think.
Yeah.
He got that mark.
Awesome. Appreciate you, man. Have a good rest of your night.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Bye.
See you, guys.